Time to say hello to Dr. Mark Welch, Green Marketing Specialist, Texas A&M College Station, where I bet it's hotter there than it is here.
Excuse me. Well, good morning, Todd. It's a little warm in College Station. Actually, I'm calling in this morning from another warm place in the world, in Lajitas, Texas. So watching the sun come up over the mountains down here in the Big Bend, right on the Rio Grande River. Beautiful part of the world. My first trip down this neck of the woods. So glad there was a cell tower that we could make a connection here and have a chance to visit.
Sounds good. What are you doing down there?
We've got a what we call our unit retreat meeting. So the our extension unit there at A&M, finds a place to get together once a year, kind of talk about, you know, business stuff that we kind of have to be aware of and, you know, policy kind of things, so a chance to get away. So this year we're meeting down here in the Big Bend country.
We had a meeting once over in Crest, but that doesn't compare to yours, I guess.
Well, I don't know. It was interesting. I didn't realize that, you know, if you get on Highway 385 and head south, you know, you cross Interstate 20 at Odessa, and you cross Interstate 10 at Fort Stockton, and just stay on 385, and it'll take you right to Big Bend National Park. So that's the way road I took coming down here, turning it left at Fort Stockton. And then you kind of wind around the country a little bit. But it is a beautiful, unique part of the world. So glad I got a chance to see it.
Well, you're down there for that meeting. Fix all this mess on the old farm sector, man.
Man, it's just incredible what we're seeing. Of course, you know, wheat in particular, but your corn and beans are on a run too. But, you know, this wheat market just incredibly strong. This surge in prices that we're seeing. Talking to Dr. Robinson, sitting by him at the meeting yesterday, we pulled up a cotton chart and look at what's going on over there too. Of course, you mentioned crude oil. And, you know, I think that's got to be an underlying force in all of this, is just the surge in commodity prices in general. You know, many in the investment community see buying futures, commodity futures, as a hedge against inflation. And certainly with the continuation, the re-escalation of the war with Iran, you know, where's this thing going to go? When's it going to end? I think there's more concern about that. We're seeing, again, these, you know, commodity prices higher. If you look at bond yields, which are also, you know, a measure of investor concern of inflation, those yield prices are going down, which means the yields are going up. What investors are requiring for those long-term investments as a because of inflation worries. I just think there's a lot of you know, turmoil in these markets that's seeing a resurgence of that right now. Of course, in the grain markets, you've got other things too. You know, in wheat in particular, we've got, you know, the smallest acres ever reported for U.S. wheat acres by USDA. You go back to 1919. We've got a drought. We've got wheat yields are down. Production's going to be down. for the corn market, how hot is it going to stay in the Midwest? There's some showers forecast, you know, for the next week or 10 days, but is that going to be enough to kind of keep the crop in good shape, and what's that going to do with heat, a combination with that? What's that going to do to our yield potential? So there are some, you know, fundamental reasons at this time of the year you would see, especially, you know, corn and soybean prices higher, and then given, again, what's going on in wheat, then you throw in the Black Sea with Ukraine and stepping up their attacks on Russian shipping vessels, and Russia threatening to attack more Ukrainian vessels and bombing the port of Odessa, which is the biggest Ukrainian port for exports across the Black Sea. It's just there's just so much disruption that just highlights the extraordinary interdependency that we have in the world grain trade. We need a free flow of exports, whether it's open shipping channels or just ships being able to, you know, traverse their national waters. We need these routes open. We need them safe. We need them free. And when those get disrupted, we're seeing the consequences of that.
So you said Dr. John's with you down there too?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yep. So he made the trip over from Houston.
Tell him he's lucky he's there instead of not at the house, because that tropical storm's getting ready to barrel down on Houston.
Well, it's tracking right at Houston, isn't it? So we may be going home right in direct opposite of the path that thing comes across. I looked at one model a day or two ago, and it's supposed to track, go over Houston and go right over College Station. I think it's a little south of that now. But it's interesting, because I haven't looked this morning. At this point, the rainfall potential really wasn't even on land. It was still showing everything pretty well off the coast. And we could use a little rain. So not that we wish a tropical storm on anybody. So anyway, to see how this thing tracks and how it holds together. Obviously, it's an unusual track anyway, just to hug the coast and head west like that. Of course, overland will typically take some steam out of it, as well as other environmental influences keep it from developing into a full-blown hurricane. It is interesting to watch that track. Heading right over the top of Houston, and we'll kind of see where it goes and what it does from there. And see if those, as we get a little closer, if the rainfall potential does start to pick up with this thing. But it is certainly a unique track and storm that is the first one that we're watching here for this hurricane season.
So 707 miles to Dimmitt from that storm right now, from Tropical Storm Bertha, so it's not here yet.
Well, you've still got a little time to stock up on your batteries and your bottled water, and maybe there won't be a run on the grocery store. It is interesting to see that in College Station. We're one of the first large communities outside of Houston. So when people evacuate, if they're coming inland and they're going north and west, we see quite a surge of folks that will come up our way, come up 290 and turn north and go up Highway 6 and come up through College Station. So it's we'll run out of bread at the grocery store, and we'll run out of gasoline at the convenience stores around town. It's a different kind of environment. Yeah, when you have a serious storm like that on the approach. So we'll of course that's not expecting that with this one, but it can come in really good ways. It'll only go 700 miles, but it is something to keep an eye on.
So what's the trading range going to be in August for the December corn contract, you think?
I think one of the key indicators, watch those crop condition ratings reports that come out every Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. At this point, the condition rating for the U.S. corn crop is better than average, not as good as last year. But if we maintain two-thirds of the crop in good and excellent shape through the month of August, I think we're certainly looking at the yield potential of 183, 184 bushels per acre. And everything else being equal, if there's a major disaster or change somewhere else in the world or on the demand side, 183 bushels on 95 million acres of corn planted, to me, that still puts price pressure on this market. It's hard to me seeing this thing hold anywhere near the levels we are now with that kind of production possibility. So I think that's going to be the real key. Do we hold the weather? If it does get dry, can we make a run back up to $5? You bet. Conditions are that tight. If we drop that yield down, I have to look at my spreadsheets again, but you start taking some yield potential off this crop, and with the strong demand that we have, we could certainly see these prices run higher. On the downside, could we be back below 450? I think very, very easily. Last I was kind of looking at it, 430, 420, it was kind of out of the range of possibility at this point for a harvest time low. So, if you had asked me for a range today, I might say, $5 on the top, say 425 on the bottom. I just think we've got that kind of uncertainty. And if the war were to get settled, and depending on what the weather does, I certainly can't predict either one of those things with any degree of accuracy. So I think we'll just have to see how this thing plays out.
Well, I guess the Board of Trade guys haven't noticed. On Monday, a big storm went through the Corn Belt, baseball-sized hail in central Iowa, flash flooding, all sorts of crap, and a lot of the corn crop is demolished up there.
Wow, no, I hadn't heard that report either.
I was there, I saw it.
So you can testify. My goodness, no, gosh, you hate to see something like that. Hail devastate a corn crop, late in the season, and it is not a pretty picture. So you hate to hear of that kind of situation. And right, we've had some areas that's talked about, heat and drought, and areas that have gotten way too much rain. They're just saturated, fields are flooded out. How's this all going to, got to combine and average out over the season? And this is in August, late July, early August. This is when we're trying to figure all this out. So obviously there's a lot of market uncertainty, volatility anyway. Then throw in a war like we're seeing right now. And it's just a recipe for a tremendous amount of volatility, uncertainty across many commodity markets.
Time to get the war over with, and let's get back to work. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. And to some degree of normalcy, and there's never certainty, but at least maybe the normal degrees of uncertainty than these extraordinary outside events.
All right. Have fun in the Big Bend area for today, Mark, and give out your contact.
Great. Todd, I appreciate you being with you here this morning. Keep the conversation going. Love to hear from you, comments or questions. The best way to do that would be to shoot me an email. You can send that to jmwelch@damu.edu. Thank you much.